Let us pray. Good and gracious God, bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts that they might be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When he was in high school, our son Nick, who is now 22, started watching the TV show The Walking Dead. If you've not seen this show and its latest spin-off called Fear the Walking Dead, it's about life after a zombie apocalypse. The show has been a huge hit, and there was even a talk show that was developed called The Talking Dead, which would air after each episode of The Walking Dead so that people could talk about all the zombies and what actually happened. Full disclosure is that I have never actually seen an entire episode of this kind of show because it's not my cup of tea. But every Sunday night, our son Nick would be watching the show, and he would try to entice me to watch it. He even told me other moms that I knew liked the show, and I should too. But I couldn't handle the zombies and all the violent and gory things zombies do. Nick tried to point out to me that zombies are very popular in our culture today, appearing not only in hit TV shows, but also in movies and best-selling books. I still could not connect with them. And I hope I don't offend some of you who are fans of The Walking Dead when I admit that I find zombies scary and devoid of any charm. In this season after Easter, here in the church, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. But often, when we think about Jesus coming back from the dead, walking around, appearing to his disciples with wounds still in his hands and feet and side, the first thing that often comes to our heads, if we're honest, is zombies. It's not hard for us to understand why seeing Jesus back from the dead made the disciples afraid. They thought he was a ghost or zombie-like. As he showed up in the midst of them when the doors were closed and locked, imagine that for a moment. They were frightened, freaked out. Who wouldn't be? But Jesus was not the walking dead. Instead, he was alive, and to prove it, he let them touch his wounds. He encouraged them to touch his hands and his feet and his side. And then, when they were still not exactly sure that he was really alive, Jesus said, "What's for dinner?" "Fish," they said. And then, proving for sure that he was an actual live person who needs to eat dinner, Jesus sat down and ate some fish with them. Maybe it was fish and chips, we're not sure. Jesus sat down and ate with them. The point, of course, being that a ghost or a zombie would not need to eat a fish dinner, or any dinner for that matter. Jesus was not dead, but alive, and among them, and eating fish for dinner. As Church Father Saint Augustine of Hippo from Northern Africa wrote long ago, Jesus ate not because he needed to, but because he could, because he was alive. The point, of course, is that Jesus was not dead, but living. And that's the central point of our Christian faith as well. It's not just a spiritual truth, but a physical, live truth. Jesus died a physical death, and God raised Jesus from the dead. This is the central affirmation of our faith. He is not a ghost or a spirit or a zombie-like creature. Jesus is alive and in our lives and in our world. And that gives hope for you and for me. Made like him, we rise. We sang on Easter Sunday in that great hymn of the church, Christ the Lord is risen today. And Jesus shows up and eats fish with the disciples to prove just how alive he is. Sometimes we want to spiritualize the truth of Easter. Sometimes we think of Jesus' resurrection as a spirit-like creature, but God wants to be sure that we understand it is not just spirit, but in the flesh that Jesus rises and stands with us. Now, why is this focus on the bodily resurrection important? Well, sometimes when we think of it as just a spiritual issue, we think that it's really not for us, at least not now. Maybe later, our hope will come later in time. Because in our age of information, when we have more and more information coming at us from all kinds of places, when we have to sift through the news to discover what is real and what is fake, when most of us have several email addresses to check and recheck, social media connections, multiple phone numbers, smartphones connected to what used to be a simple wristwatch, in this age of information, we don't need more information about God. What we need instead is just more God. As theologian Barbara Brown Taylor writes, we need the practice of incarnation by which God saves the lives of those whose intellectual ascents have turned as dry as dust. For those who have run frighteningly low on the bread of life, who are dying to know more God in their bodies, not more about God, but more God. That's where God meets us, not in the spirit realm or the intellectual realm, but in the flesh and blood of our lives, in our bodies, around the dinner table, showing us the real scars, which, like our scars, are still healing from the suffering that we face, giving us hope because he's alive and he's real and he's eating fish with us. And it's important that it's not some other Jesus, some ghost-like Jesus, but the real Jesus, the one who suffered on Good Friday, the one who walked among us, the one who still has those scars, who's also the one who is alive, the same Jesus who suffered and died is the Jesus who is now resurrected and alive. What matters is that he's alive, not a ghost. What matters is that we believe Jesus is real in the flesh, eating a fish dinner and reminding us not only is he alive, but he faced trials and tribulations, and that through the power of God, he has overcome those things. That is what gives us hope, to overcome our trials and tribulations as well. That is what gives us hope to trust that new life is actually possible for each of us and for our world. Like the words to the old hymn, "He Lives," which we'll sing at the end of the service, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he's living, whatever friends may say. I see his hands of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. There's an old story that you might have heard, but it bears repeating. A little boy snuggled down under the covers and quickly went to sleep after a fun day of playing outside. But before too long, he woke up with a cry. The poor little guy had a bad dream and desperately needed the comfort of mom or dad. Fortunately, his parents' room was directly across the hall from his, so they immediately heard him crying. Dad came to his rescue. After soothing words of assurance and comfort, Dad thought, mission accomplished. However, just as the tired parents drifted back off to sleep, their son cried out again. This time, Mom gave it a try, and he calmed down, but no sooner had she returned to the warmth of her bed than the little guy was crying again. Finally, after several more attempts by both parents, Mom called out from under the warmth of her covers, "It's okay. Remember, God is always with you." Without hesitation, the little boy responded, "I know, but I want someone with skin on. I want someone with skin on." God has always been aware that we need someone with skin on to comfort us, to give us hope, to show us that the resurrection is indeed real. And so God raised Jesus from the dead, not some ghost, but a real human being with skin on. God sent Jesus with skin on to show us that God is real and God is alive and in the flesh. Jesus is alive. It makes all the difference. After Jesus appeared to the disciples, after he let them touch his hands and feet and his side, after he ate fish dinner with them, after he showed up and taught them in the flesh that he is a part of our body and our lives, after eating dinner, Jesus gave some final instructions. "You are my witnesses," he said. "You are my witnesses. You are to go and proclaim repentance and forgiveness to all the nations." Now, the disciples did not understand Jesus' instructions at first, and like it does with us today, it took them repeated lessons and nudgings and going over the message again and again. "Did you really mean this?" "Yes, that's what I meant. This is what I said." It took them a while to really understand the radical message of universal love and forgiveness that Jesus intended. God's grace and forgiveness for all, no exceptions. God's grace and forgiveness for all, no exceptions. No exceptions. After 21 centuries, we in the church still struggle with drawing lines and distinctions and making rules where God intended a wide circle where all people are accepted and loved equally. After 21 centuries, we in the church still struggle with preaching the risen Christ, the message that Christ is alive and among us, calling us to radical, inclusive love, still surprises us, shocks us, causes us, like the disciples of old, to respond with joy and disbelief. And Jesus shows us his hands and his feet and his side. And Jesus sits down to dinner to remind us over and over again that he is with us, that he is real, that he is alive. And he is calling us as his witnesses to love as he loves. Amen.